Loving God, open our hearts to hear your word. Set our hearts on fire with love for you. Stir our hearts to do your work in the world. Amen. One of my absolute favorite things about summer is that it's sweet corn season. There is nothing better than biting into an ear of corn so ripe and so sweet that it doesn't need anything on it. No butter, no salt, just pure, delicious corn. Growing up in northern Indiana, I was spoiled. We were surrounded by cornfields. There's a farm stand just down the road from my parents' house, Sweet Corn Charlie's. And beginning just about this time of year, the corn you buy was picked that morning. My mouth waters just thinking about it. Corn's a big part of life where I come from. You can track the progression of the spring and summer by the height of the corn. It's the core of the livelihood of so many people. And for many of my friends, their very first summer job as teenagers was detasseling corn. Now, the tassel is the pollen-producing flower that sprouts at the top of each stalk. And typically, a cornfield is planted with two different varieties of corn so that those two varieties will cross-pollinate and hybridize. And in the end, the corn is more physically uniform, and they get much higher yields as a result. But in order to make sure that that cross-pollinization actually happens and is effective, you have to remove all of the tassels, or all of the pollen, from one of the varieties of corn. And that's where the teenage workers come in. Their job is to walk up and down the rows of corn, removing the tassels from each and every stalk. It's hot, sweaty work in the middle of summer. And from planting to detasseling to harvest, there's an elaborate process that's designed to give each crop its best chance to thrive. I've been thinking about my friends out there detasseling a lot this week as I pondered the parable of the sower that we just heard. There's such a contrast between the care and precision by which the corn on those farms is planted and nurtured and the sower that Jesus talks about, who sows his seeds anywhere, indiscriminately flinging them on such different types of terrain, whether the hardened ground of the path, the ground that is rocky or thorny, or that soil that is fertile and receptive. Now, my initial reaction when thinking about this approach is that it's kind of wasteful. Why throw so many seeds away, casting them in places where they aren't likely to grow and flourish? There's a thrifty part of my core that thinks surely it would just be better to employ a more thoughtful, more methodical, more judicious approach to planting. I mean, for Pete's sake, what is the detasseling strategy? But in my thriftiness, in my concern about the scarcity of seeds, I miss the point. Jesus isn't offering his disciples agricultural advice. Instead, he is trying to help them better understand the nature of God's love and grace. God is not cautious or precise when showering us with his word, with his grace, love, mercy, healing, compassion. Isaiah describes it perfectly. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. Like rains flowing down from heaven. Like seeds cast by the sower, God's love flows down upon us, the soil, waiting to be nourished by mercy and grace and the words from God's lips. But then that's where this seemingly straightforward parable becomes tricky. I've often heard this story interpreted as a prescription. We are to strive to be like the fertile soil, hearing and understanding God's word so that we might bear fruit and yield 30, 60, 100-fold. And that's all well and good. We should seek to understand God's word, to be receptive to the abundance of love and grace that God offers. But what about the times in our lives when we aren't especially good soil? I imagine that we all have periods where we better identify with the other types of terrain described. I know I do. Times in my life when I have felt like the soil of the path, beaten down, so hard packed by the wounds of conflict, of disappointment, of trauma, that there is no space for the seeds of love and grace to enter. And I struggle to see where there might even be space for God. And then there are other times that the terrain has been filled with rocks, distractions, difficulties, hard and unpleasant and sometimes frightening work that is laid before me that I just don't think I'm up for. And that prevents God's love from taking root and flourishing within me. And yet there are other times when the thorns of the world have distracted me, have turned me away from the seeds of God's work already showering down, and convinced me instead that the pursuit of wealth, of achievement, of power, would feed my self-worth and produce the nourishment that my soul needed. Yes, all too often I hear this parable, and the good, receptive, fertile soil is not where I find myself. So the good news then lies precisely in the sower's indiscriminate approach to spreading the seeds. God doesn't wait until we are at our peak capacity, our ideal state, to shower us with love. There isn't some evaluation process to see if we are ready to receive God's grace. There's not even a detasseling strategy. No. God's grace is freely and abundantly given again and again and again without regard for where we might find ourselves in life, or what type of terrain there might be in our souls at this stage in our journey. God offers that grace without regard, frankly, for whether we even think we want that love and grace or not. Like the rains and the snows from heaven, God's love showers down without ceasing. And as Isaiah reminds us, it shall not return to him empty. It shall accomplish that which he purposes and succeed in the things for which he sent it. Growing plants is an inherently hopeful task. You look to the future, trusting that what you sow will flourish. And our God knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that wherever we might be in our lives today, there will be a day when we will be that good, fertile soil yielding 100-fold that which was planted. And with great hope, until that day comes, God continues to cast his seeds of love and grace with joyful abandon. Amen.